I guess it's time to start.
Good morning. You let these guys go, and who knows where they go. Getting them back is the hard part. That's okay. Okay. Good morning, good morning. We're so glad you're here. Okay, lots and lots and lots of announcements, lots of things going on. Next week is the ladies' luncheon at the community church, and you can be involved in the gift exchange if you want. You don't have to do that part if you don't want to. Should be a really nice time, so try to come if you can. We're doing the Barnabas Tree, and Carolyn.
I only have about 3 or 4 more gifts that need to be done, so if you can help, talk to me after service, please.
Thank you, Carolyn. And Miss Alice, we have our dinner next Sunday.
The list is going around. I'm not at all bashful. If I don't see your name there, I'll ask you what you want to bring. Thank you.
Okay. And then our open house was changed because we had so many things going on next week that we changed our open house to the 22nd. So we hope that all of you will be able to make that. It'll be a time span where you can, it says 3 to 5. During that time, just drop in. You can stay as long as you want or go as quickly as you want. It's up to you. We'll have lots of goodies for you. You don't bring us anything. We make the goodies, and it's our way to say thank you and wish you all a Merry Christmas. So we want you to come empty-handed and leave full and happy. So let's see. And then we do have the Christmas Eve candlelight service on the 24th. Tonight is the cantata. I don't know if some of you may not be familiar. The community church and our church come together. This year we have 5 people singing. Last year we only had 2. So we have 5 people singing in the choir. And today at 5, the Christmas cantata will be at the community church. It's a lovely cantata. I think you'll really be blessed by being there and being a part of it. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so get there early, okay? I think that's good. So with that, we will get started on our Advent calendar. Okay, last week was the week of hope. The Jewish people were looking forward to a Messiah, the Son of God, that would come and he would save them from the Romans. At least that's what they thought. Okay, they were looking for an earthly king when he was clearly a spiritual king instead. Okay, so hope is based on who Jesus is and trusting in him. This week, that one says love, but actually it's faith. Sometimes they use love instead of faith. We're going to talk about the faith of one person today, Mary. And as the Jews were looking forward to the Messiah coming, we're looking forward to Jesus coming back for us, right? Okay. So I'm going to read from Luke 1, 26 through 38, if anybody else wants to join us. Sorry. Being retarded here, okay. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was, what was her name, children? Mary, yes. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him," what's his name going to be?
Jesus.
Right. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Isn't that great? "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." Okay, let me read that again. My version says this differently. "For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to, be to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. The angel Gabriel announced two miracles that day. Mary would have the Son of God, Jesus, and Elizabeth, who was past childbearing age, was 6 months pregnant. Then the angel makes a statement that I think we should memorize. I don't like it in that version. Luke 1:37 in my version says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Do we believe that? Okay, we need to live that. Do we truly live like we believe these words? Mary responded to the angel's announcement with faith. Mary responds, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary had the faith to trust God and believe the angel's words. Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." God had a plan and a purpose for Mary's life. He has a purpose and a plan for your life, too. Today, as we light the candle of faith, search your heart. Are you following Jesus in faith and allowing him to guide and direct your steps? Okay, let us pray. Dear Father, help us to have the kind of faith Mary had when she demonstrated faith to face the unknown. Help us to have the faith to experience all that is possible through Christ. Help us to reach out to others that are struggling and encourage them to trust you and have faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, here's our new memory verse for December. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Galatians 4:4-5.
Amen. You may be seated. Dan, offering?
Let's pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you, Christ, for being our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the service. We just pray for your blessings. Pray for this offering, Lord. We can give a small portion back to you as you've given us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. I love. Amen.
How many of you had never heard that song before? Yeah, today's my first day to hear it too. I was pleased. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, a good Southern gospel type. Yeah, that was a good one. I enjoyed that. I listen to a lot of music, but you know, you get in your rut, you hear the same stuff that you do, and so you never. It's always nice to hear something from a different variety or different, and that's good. That's good. Come and behold. Well, good. That's the way it was supposed to have been. But so, hey, you know, I try to bring in songs that I know to do that, but you know, we try to have a variety. So one of the things I want to tell you, and I keep forgetting to ask Sarah to put it in the bulletin, is, you know, if ever you have a song that you're dying to hear, that you want us to do or you want us to figure out, you know, drop a note in the bulletin or in the offering, or give a note to Sarah or something, and we'll get back. And if it doesn't show up in a little bit of time, then check on us again, you know. But generally speaking, I try to look for songs that people know and people like and people enjoy. Otherwise, you get stuck with the ones I know and I like. So that's one of the nice things about being in charge. Yeah. It's a bad thing too. Sarah, could you stand so that people know who you are? This is Sarah. Just give her a note and say you'd like to hear a song or whatever, or you can give it to me. You know, just if you give it to me on Sundays, I'll never know for sure where it's going to end up. Okay. I want to take a moment too and pause. Just so you know, there have been a lot of things going on, and you know, this last week or so. A lot of people ended up sick. Glenda, I'm so thankful you're back here and out of the hospital. She was in the hospital, actually, because of this terrible flu thing that's going around, right? And then there was somebody else that was laid up. Larry and Theodora was this past week. You know, and there's just, and I guess there's this nasty, nasty strain that's going around that just gets, pardon me? Oh, and yeah, she's home now, right, because of it. And so, pardon me? Well, Ezekiel's in the hospital for something, well, was at the emergency room, but yeah.
Theodora was sick because of lettuce.
Oh, she got that. So. That's right. Everyone bring the chocolate. Bring out the chocolate. We're going to... Oh, this is terrible. I lost control. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, I bring that up because I want you guys to be praying. And give thanks, you know, because fortunately, the neat thing is God has made us to heal. Sometimes we need help, and that's where the doctors come in, and that and the medical knowledge that God's given us, but we do thank God that he is able to help our bodies heal, and we're thankful for people being back. Yes, and Jeff's a testimony to that. So we're thankful for that, but keep praying for these folks, because we need to pray. And also, I want to take just a moment. I'm going to embarrass my daughter. This is my daughter, Dawn Beth. You guys have heard me talking about her so much. Can you just stand up? She's already given me the look. I'm the father that's getting in trouble. This is the daughter that you guys have been praying for so much, and I am so thankful for your prayers lifting her up and praying for all the things that she's going through as she's studying to be a doctor. Continue to pray for her. She has the biggest challenge of all. She has to live with me, okay, and was raised, you know, in my family, and so that's the biggest obstacle she's had to overcome, but there are other obstacles out there that still that need to be overcome. And as she's on the downward path of the studies, now she's going to be looking for residency, and she's got a big decision to make. So help her in the decisions that she, or pray for her in the decisions that she needs to make now. So let's pause and pray right now. Father, I just pray that as we open up your word, that you're going to speak to our hearts and begin talking to us and help us to just prepare for this time of the Advent, God, the time of where we remember. And, you know, God, whether it's right to build such a celebration around Christmas or not is... Yeah, that's a debate, but the point is, God, is we're grateful for the fact that you thought of us, you cared about us, and you sent a Savior to us. And I pray, God, that as we reflect upon your goodness and your kindness, that you'll speak to our hearts. And Father, we have mentioned a whole bunch of folks out of our community. We're thankful for Betty being here today, for Glenda, and for those who have come back from the hospital. Praying for those who are still away from us, Linda and Theodora and others, that and Ezekiel and others that are still not well enough. And Father, I know that I've forgotten somebody. I'm thankful for Danny being back here today. Didn't know he was sick, but was struggling. And God, we're just thankful that you've united us as a family, and you bring us together, and you help us to care for one another. We ask, God, for forgiveness in our failings whenever we fail to be as thoughtful and considerate as we need to be. We pray, God, for your Spirit to help guide us and help us to become better in that. And God, we pray that in this time that we might hear your word speak to us and show us, challenge us how we can become more like Christ was. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Have your Bibles today?
Yeah.
Well, do not turn to Acts, okay? Turn to that was a terrible joke. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. We want to begin reading in verse 18. Just going to read a few short verses. Matthew chapter 1. This is, as you know, this is the Advent season, okay? That's kind of what the candles are about, and I don't know if everything's understood, but one of the practices of Advent is each week to light a candle. You can do this in your home. If you have a wreath, you can set up a wreath and get three purple candles, a pink candle, and a white candle. Okay, the white one goes in the center, and the other three go around it. And what you do is you begin, and you light the first week during Advent, you light the one of the pink candles for, or the red candles or purple candles. Yeah, purple, that's it. I'm colorblind, okay? You light one of the purple candles each night at dinner time. You can do that and have it on. And, you know, tradition is if you have children in the family, you can do it. My daughter had to put up with that kind of stuff, so she can tell you all about it. But the purple, you light the candle each night, and then it goes around and stuff. The second week, you light the second candle, third week, et cetera. And each week, you're kind of reminded of what that shows. As Ginger talked about, the first candle is the candle of hope, all right? Or it's in the week of anticipation. The first week of Advent is the week of anticipation. And the hope is kind of goes along with that idea. You're anticipating that you're hoping for God to do something spectacular. And you're on edge. You're waiting for that, kind of getting the thought of Christmas coming, you know, the kids getting ready, the presents. The next one is the faith, the faith candle, or it's the candle. This week is the week of preparation. In faith, you're preparing for this event, okay? In faith, you believe that this is going to happen, and so you act and you prepare for the coming of the Advent, the coming of the Christ child, the coming. And that's the idea. And so on each week, and we'll talk about the others as we go. But this is the week of preparation. And what I kind of want us to see is how, you know, in the midst of everything that was going on, God was busy preparing. One of the verses that we used this week was in the fullness of time, okay? It's the idea that in Galatians, what God was saying was everything had been orchestrated. You know, I've told you guys before that in Genesis chapter 2, whenever they had the fall, man had rebelled against God, we had the fall, and that there, God made the promise right there that I'm going to send a Savior. And from the beginning of time, as we understand it, God was in the business of preparing, getting everything ready, and it culminated in the birth of Christ. And Paul explains it in Galatians. It says it was in the fullness of time. In other words, all the elements were together. Everything had been brought together, and everything had been prepared for that event. And that's kind of what we're looking at today. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, it says, "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. And after his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord," did you get that? "Angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Now, in this idea of God preparing, God getting things ready, I want us to look today at the role of the angels, okay, just briefly. Understand, I'm not trying to give you a dissertation on angels, all right? And I imagine there are people in this room that could teach me some things about angels. I've never been that inquisitive. I've never been that much enthralled that I've wanted to study. But I do think we can learn some things, okay? And I want us to take just a moment back away. Here, an angel was used and sent by God to talk to Joseph, to help in the arrangements as the preparations were being made for the birth of Christ. Everything in place, and Joseph was a key and an integral part of it, and God spoke to him. We're going to look at some other places that God spoke. But he uses the angels to do that. Now, some people have gone so far, whenever they get in the Bible and they start talking about the angels, I mean, they have this whole theology about angels, the whole doctrines, and they have all these things, and it almost to the point that some people begin to worship angels. All right? And I want you to understand, I'm completely against that. And what I have to say today has nothing towards that end that we're supposed to worship angels. In fact, the scripture tells us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to flip over and look at verse 8, I'm not going to read it, but I want you to understand. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that the angels are lower than Christ, that Christ was put above the angels, okay? That Christ was, he was the exact representation of God. He was the radiance of his glory, and he was placed as superior to the angels, all right? And we need to understand that Jesus Christ is the object of our worship. And part of the role of the angels is to bring us to that place where we give praise to him. But the aspect that you need to understand is that angels do not hold a hierarchy. And in fact, it's dangerous. Paul warns us that even if an angel, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul warns us that if an angel from heaven comes and tells us a gospel other than the one that promotes Jesus Christ, the one that tells that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, the one that tells us that we receive forgiveness for our sins through the grace of God shown through Jesus Christ, and we accept that by faith, then if that gospel is anything different than that, then Paul says, let that angel be accursed. Let anyone who says that be accursed. All right? So even if an angel says that. So angels are not the object of our affections. They're not to be the object of our worship. Rather, the angels serve a very intricate purpose in our relationship with God. I want us to understand the first thing about the angels. There are three key things that I want us to think about. One is that angels are there to reflect praise back to God, you might say. Okay, they're there to show us praise. Now, again, I'm going to mention some passages. I'm not necessarily going to turn there and read them. You can jot them down, you know, write a note to yourself and go back and look them up. It's fine. But I just want to reference these passages. In Isaiah chapter 6, there's a famous passage in there. And there's a little song from the kids. If the kids were here, I'd make them do it. But do you remember it, Don? Oh, yes, you do. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and he was high and lifted. I think I missed some words. He was sitting on his throne. That's it. Sitting on his throne. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled. You get it? Train, choo, choo. Train filled the temple. He is high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. And the angels, isn't that cute? Angels, they cried, holy. And the angels, they cried, holy. Angels, they cried, holy is the Lord. Do you remember that one? Am I the only one that knew that song?
Yeah.
Holy. We're learning all sorts of new things today. But the point is that this, the angels were there, and what did they do? They gave praise to God. They cried out, holy. Isaiah came in. He saw this spectacular view. He saw this image of Christ, or of God upon his throne, and the angels were there, and he cried out. We know that Isaiah's response to that was to call himself unclean, to fall down in humility, and to fall down in fear because he realized he was unholy before God. And the angels cried out that holiness, and they pointed us to God. That's one of the things that the purposes of the angels. If you go to Revelation chapter 22, back of your Bible and kind of turn a few pages, but in Revelation chapter 2, we find a similar description of the angels. And what's going on with those angels? Okay, they're there in John. John has, this Revelation is the book where John was taken into heaven. I'm never quite sure how to describe what happened, but God opened his eyes so that he was able to see what was taking place. And the book of Revelation is a record of what God revealed to John. And there it says, you know, he was taken up and he saw Christ and he saw, and it describes his reactions. Here in Revelation chapter 22, at the very end, it says that whenever he saw all these things, that he fell down at the feet of an angel because he was so holy. And he fell down and he bowed down, and the angel stopped him. And the angel said, no, I'm not the one to worship. You worship God and him alone. And the angel lifted him up so that he would worship God and not the angel. And we need to understand that, that angels are there to direct that praise to God. And we're just reminded of the description earlier in Revelation where the angelic creatures were around the throne and they sang and they worshiped God. And also they cried, "Holy, holy, holy," and they sang who was, who is, and who is to come. And they gave praise so that we would be reminded of who he is. And we need to understand that the purpose of the angel is to reflect that praise back to God. And they're always there to do that. And here, even now, as they're making this proclamation, you know, it's always interesting to see how he does this. That the angel came and appeared to Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid. Take Mary your wife, because what this is the work of God," he's saying to him. "It's conceived of the Holy Spirit." And he tells how God is going to bring redemption. His name is Jesus. He will save his people. God, he's revealing the work of God. This angel is helping people to understand and clarify and come to appreciate the fact that God has been about that process of redemption from the beginning of time. Here he's coming, and this is a culmination of what God is doing, that Christ is going to be born. And he's telling us. And this is the role of the angels. We need to understand that whenever we think about the angels, how they come and they bring this kind of revelation, and that the purpose of the angel is so that our eyes can be opened to the glory of who God is, so that we can understand his magnificence. Now, angels are in other places in the Bible. We find many other things happening. So some of the other places, if you look at and you go through, you'll find angels mentioned multiple times. And we see that the angels are there and they're doing ministering deeds for God. Oh, family catastrophe, I guess. Okay. Yes, sir. Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about, because you know, the Bible kind of gives an impression of that, but it never doesn't say that specifically, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things you need to understand is I go to the Bible to find what is I need to believe about God. If it's not here in the Bible, if it hasn't been revealed in the Bible, then apparently I don't need to know about it, okay? I don't need to understand. I don't need to speculate about it. I don't need to come up with my own theories. I mean, I can, and it's okay to do some things, but I understand it's not gospel. It's not the Word of God. It's not God saying something. And this whole thing about a guardian angel, okay, the Bible never calls them that. But there are some instances, and that's kind of what you're talking about here, Jeff. One of the places we find that is with Lot. You remember the story in Genesis? Where he encounters the angels. The angels had met with Abraham. They had moved through, and they had gone over to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were going to destroy the cities, and after their encounter and discussion with Abraham. And there they met Lot, and they brought protection upon Lot as a righteous person, even though the rest of the city was going to be destroyed. They were going to deliver Lot from that destruction. And the angels protected. So they were ministering to Lot and his family by protecting them. We find as well that Daniel was another one of these that you could say that there was a guardian angel. Remember, he refused to worship the emperor and got thrown into the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. And we find there in Daniel chapter 6 that after spending the night in the lion's den, the king came quickly because he realized what he had been tricked into this need to throw Daniel into the lion's den. He was concerned about it, so he ran. He says, "Has your God delivered you?" And Daniel responds, "And yes," he says, "my God sent his angels to close the mouths of the lions." And yes, you could say that this is an indication that God has angels to protect. And although I'm confident that it can happen, I just don't see anywhere that can be generalized to say that God's going to protect everyone in that fashion, okay? So that's why I say we can learn and we can speculate. We just can't come with some kind of general principle, because the Bible doesn't lay it out that way. There's some other examples of the ministering angels. One of those was, remember, after Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted in the in the desert. He had been taken out gone out into the desert to begin his ministry, to focus on what he was going to do. And in that time, Satan came to him and tempted him in several temptations. And then at the end of that time, it says the angels came and ministered to him. Not sure what all that meant, but I assume that meant they gave him some food, some refreshed his spirit, and helped take care of him during that struggle. Similarly, we find that the angels came and ministered to Jesus following his struggle in the garden, okay? That, remember, as Jesus prayed and struggled in the garden, just before he was supposed to be arrested and taken into the cross, that there during that time, he prayed, and so intensely did he pray, but they sweat drops of blood. And during that time, it says that following that time, the angels came and ministered to him, to strengthen him, to encourage him. You know, I imagine it was kind of like the emissaries, you know, coming in after someone's been gone for a long time, and they have somebody that comes and encourages them, that they know and they recognize, a good friend showing up. And I imagine it was something like that. But again, there I'm speculating because the Bible doesn't say. But the important thing I want you to understand is that the angels come and they bring that ministry. They come to strengthen. And there are times that the Bible can indicate that we can look and we can receive a supernatural intervention from God. The Bible says that as Christians, that we should welcome the strangers because we might be entertaining angels unaware. Okay, that God will send people into our lives sometimes to bring that blessing. Now, how far we go in that, I don't know. Are there protecting angels? Are there guardian angels over each one of our lives? We sang something. Yes. Well, and that's the point. And that is the point. That if they come because God sent them. They are His emissaries. They are His ambassadors to bring and bring care to each of us, just as they brought it to Jesus. And thank you for getting and emphasizing that point. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And that's the important thing. Anytime you do find it, an angel mentioned in the scripture, they're there because God has sent them. God gave them a task. God had something for them to do. And the other place that we find it, the other thing that we see the angels doing, is they are messengers of God. An angel, literally translated, means messenger of God, is how we would if we were translating that word. Okay, it means a messenger of God. And we find that in the passage today that we read, that an angel showed up and gave a message to Joseph, to deliver a message, helping Joseph understand the work of God and what he was doing. In the same way, the passage that Ginger read, we find an angel showed up there and gave a message to Mary concerning that. We find in the biblical story, the account of the birth of Christ, angels showing up. They showed up first to Zechariah, remember? They showed up then to Mary. They showed up to Joseph to tell them and give them instructions about what needed to happen. Pardon me? Well, and that came later. But even before Simeon, they showed up. Remember, they showed up again to Joseph after the Magi had come, and they reminded the Magi, or they reminded Joseph that Herod was going to seeking to kill the child, and they warned him to flee to Egypt. And then following that, an angel appeared again and said, okay, it's safe to go back to Israel. And we find that these angels came and they brought a message of instruction. They brought a message of hope. They brought a message of encouragement. They helped people understand. You can go back through the Bible and you can find over and over again the angels bringing the messages. One of those that I forgot to mention was about Elijah. Remember, Elijah was confronted by an army. They had come to confront Elisha concerning this guy had been ill, I believe, and was seeking healing, and he brought an army, I guess, to threaten Elijah that he had to perform this healing. And in the midst of that, the servant, when he saw that, he ran scared. And he says to Elijah, he says, you know, aren't you afraid? And Elijah says, no. And he prayed. He asked God to open the servant's eyes so that he could see. And they're surrounding the other army, were an army of angels. God sends his protection in that sense. But they're messengers of hope, messengers of truth, messengers to send us on the line. Gideon saw an angel and was challenged by that angel to stand up to lead God's people in deliverance as a judge. So the point is that over and over again, you find the angels present throughout all these things, okay, through all these great events. And you might be saying, Curtis, okay, that all sounds great, but what in the world does it have to do with me, and especially here at Christmas? Wow, that's a good question. And I want to challenge you guys. I think even though they're spiritual beings, and they don't share in the same thing, and even though their tasks are different than ours, I think that we can look at the angels and say, yes, God can use us in the same way. Can we not, during this time, reflect praise back to God? Isn't that part of what we can do this Christmas season? We can do it in the songs that we sing. We're singing songs that give praise. We can do it in the words that we speak to people, that rather than saying happy holidays, we could say Merry Christmas. Or we could say something else that might help remind them that we have been received a Savior, okay? That we have been given deliverance from our sins through this gift of God's child. We can speak in such a way that helps people understand that God is the one who is to receive glory. And we can lift him up and we can sing those praises to him and praise his name and give thanks to him for his goodness in our lives. That's one of the things that we can do. We could also practice being his ministering body, his ministering body, that we can find those around us who are in need. We can find those around us who are in the process of you know, maybe they're discouraged, facing discouragement. One of the things that we find at Christmas time is that people it heightens the discouragement that people feel, okay, or depression. Maybe we are aware of somebody who's like that, and we can just go and be with them to encourage them in their faith, encourage them in their walk with Christ. Maybe God's calling us to that aspect. Maybe there are somebody in your neighborhood, somebody that you know of, who financially is struggling this season, and maybe God can use you to assist them, to help them out. Maybe not need to be much, but it may be just something that can be a benefit to them, a blessing. God works sometimes to touch each of our lives. And I challenge you to make yourself available to be someone who can minister to the needs of another individual. And then maybe you can speak the message of Jesus Christ. You know, we get wrapped up in this time. We think it's about the gifts that we're giving. We think it's about the decorations. And although I think the decorations here are fabulous, I'm a little prejudiced. My wife did them, so we get wrapped up in these things that are peripheral. And the message of Christmas sometimes takes a backstage. And it happens even in my own family. I can do the same thing. I'm saying maybe we just need to make sure that as we go through this season, that we're focused in remembering the message. The message, the same message that Joseph gave, was given. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. A message. Have you shared that message this season? Have you spoken to somebody to let them know that they're loved by God? Loved so much that he sent his son into this world to take the form of a human being, so that he could experience everything that you and I experience throughout life. The struggles, the high points, the disappointments. And through that, he could walk with us as we go through those things. And he was willing to sacrifice his own life so that you and I could experience forgiveness. It's a simple message, guys. God loves us and wants us to experience an abundant life. So simple. He's made the provision. All we have to do is say, yes, God. Yes. That's what I want. Have you done that? Do you know somebody that you need to share that message with? Message of forgiveness and love. Because that's what he wants. Let's pray. God, I just ask that as we go from this place today, that you might send us in your hope and in your love, that you might help us remember the real reason for this season, the fact that we can have a personal relationship with you because of your gift, because of your generosity, because of your grace. Help us to take that message to others in all that we do. In Christ's name.